You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, like the one you're about to enjoy, visit electronicmediacollective.com. And now, our feature presentation.
This week on the Roman Podcast,
we talk about a lot of hockey stuff, dirty street food, rings around your champions, and a whole lot of bitch lasagna.
All that and more on episode 159 of the Roman Podcast.
Welcome to the Roman Podcast. I'm your host, Roman LeBeau.
And I'm Rob Cast.
Mr. Rob, oh my God, it's nice and sunny, Cast. What's
yes.
going on?
Yes, not too bad. Another weather report. Truth be told, we're going to pull back the curtain a little bit. We're recording two podcasts tonight. Because right, I'm going out of town. So we're going to decide which one goes first. So we don't know.
But I'm just so you know, the reason I give you the weather report when we start.
Right.
It's because it's either that or I talk about my hemorrhoids.
Okay, right. Weatherboard it is. Carry
there
on.
You go. It's a bright and sunny day.
I'll get you a green screen and a little pointy stick and everything. Not for the hemorrhoids, for the weather report.
Yeah, well, the green screen for the hemorrhoids, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Gross. Anyway, so here we are. We're recording on a Monday again.
As
per usual. So anything new in the life of Roman LeBeau?
I don't know if you're familiar with it, what a self-tape is.
I know there's a few couples that have gotten real famous by putting self-tapes.
Well, yeah, those are different types of tapes.
Okay.
When you get an audition, you go into, you get called to a certain place, got to be there at a certain hour. You learn your lines, go in, you read the lines with the reader, they record it, and then they send it off to the director, whoever, the producers, whoever's looking at it.
Right.
A self-tape is when they're like, well, you know what, this is a recording somewhere else, or we're looking for a wider array of people than five people.
Right.
Right? So what we want you to do is record yourself doing the lines with somebody, and then send it to us.
Cool. Okay. So basically, let's say we're near Toronto, and let's say there was an opportunity out in Vancouver. Well, you're not going to fly out to Vancouver for an audition unless you were like within the top five or three, right? Like
unless you're a specialty case and it's a big project,
right.
Then you would do it. Something like this, and this one actually was out on the left coast.
Yes.
So I got to do a self-tape today, and they're going to send it off, and then it's done. I send it off. I don't even think about it unless I get a call from my agent saying, "Hey, you got the part." Which means that because, like I said, I'm a big dude, so not a lot of unfit people in Vancouver, which is to my benefit.
Great.
Right? So they literally would be like, if I got a role like this, let's just say not necessarily this one. Let's say any role.
Okay.
Right? Let's say, okay, you're going to be on the show for a week or 2 weeks. Okay, that's great. They're like, all right. So they would pay for my flight there and back.
Right.
And they would pay for my accommodations.
Right.
And then when you're on set, they pay for your food.
And they pay you because you're an actor.
You for the actual job. You know, so I know it sounds like, wow, it's a gravy train. But it lasts 2 weeks. You know, it lasts a day most of the time. But sometimes you're lucky you get like 2-3 days. And if you're really lucky, you get like a couple of week or two.
Yes. And then you got to squirrel that money away for your next one, which could be a year or two later.
A year or two later. Yeah, exactly. That's why when you see certain actors in TV series and then you don't see them for like 2-3 years and then they pop back up, it's because it's given time enough for the audience to kind of forget who they are or what they were in and they can believe the new character. Now, some actors can work different roles. That's great.
Yeah.
But it all depends on, not every actor is going to work in every project.
Of course.
Because there's some amazing actors and they're just sitting at home right now listening to the Roman Podcast going, what the fuck's wrong with them?
How's that Roman bastard getting gigs? And how is I'm not?
No problem. Just go to the 7-Eleven, hook up the Slurpee / Froster / Frosty machine, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
directly into your vein.
Oh, yes. There you go.
Into your veins. And just, you know, by the end of the day, if you're not dead, you know, you can challenge me for roles.
There you go.
If you can walk and if your ankles can handle it.
Yes. And congratulations. You have diabetes. So that's cool. So a self-tape. And again, I guess this is something you have to be sure, because I can see a whole Netflix movie being on how some actor sent the wrong tape, and then there's a big adventure trying to get from Toronto to Vancouver or Toronto to LA to retrieve this tape before the director sees it.
Yeah, that would have been great for the 80s or the 90s.
Yes, exactly.
And now everything's Dropbox and digital, man. So
Yes.
It doesn't work that way anymore.
So if you send the wrong digital tape, you're just screwed right away.
Yeah, and I don't even send headshots. I have them online and they get submitted when the auditions come up. So when I walk into the room, most of the time, I don't even need a headshot.
Right. Right. Yeah, because it's all there, right?
Yeah,
it's,
they don't need that kind of paperwork. They don't want to junk up their offices, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Sometimes they do, though, which is, I think it's still good, because you kind of want somebody to go, hey, what was that guy that we brought in to do this or that? And they start looking through their piles of pictures, and that's the guy. Whereas if they have to do it online, it's only submissions they get to look at, right?
Or yeah, they can search, but... Yeah, but they can sort them and narrow the field too. And then that way it's just like making piles on your desk. You got piles of headshots. Oh, we like these ones. And they put it into the maybe pile or the maybe folder. It's just digital. I can see it. I mean, that's, of course it would. Yeah,
it's made life a lot easier for the casting directors. And I'm sure harder in some other ways, but it's just different. Things have changed. But this is good, because now whenever a big project comes up, let's say, a Marvel project comes up, right?
Right.
And they're like, oh, we need this character. We've been looking all over the world. We can't find somebody. Well, there's people who submit tapes from Australia. That's how Heath Ledger got discovered, I believe. Michael Nathan, okay. I think, this guy who found him. And it was just like people send in self-tapes. And they're like, as soon as the guy started speaking, everybody stopped in the room. And they're like, oh, my God, that's the guy. Yeah.
Cool.
Some people have it, man.
Cool. And that's kind of what we kind of go opposite of that a little bit. That's why when we do our holiday cards, that's something we don't do many of them. I mean, there's only a very limited few, but for any new listeners out there, every time Christmas rolls around, we get messages. We have a very small core group of people that they get one every year, but right. Then we have other ones that we send out to listeners. And it's, for us, it's like, oh, everybody's so used to the digital card or the digital this, or they're the like on Facebook or the happy birthday on Facebook. But, and we do that too. But when, at Christmas time or holiday time, when people get a physical card in the mail, they're like, why, what's this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of, that's kind of our way of going. We went a little bit out of our way to do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's funny too. Cause I'll get some from my aunts and my cousins.
Right.
You know, they're like, and you just, you know, you don't even think about it. You get, you're like, oh my God, like how much time did she take just to send me a card handwritten?
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. And you're sitting there going, and I would never do that. I'm such a fucking horrible person.
But you
meanwhile, I do it for the show. But I don't even do it for my family. I'm like, and that's why I need a woman. I need her to slap me in the head and go, you know, you got to send cards to your family. Oh, right.
I could slap you in the head. I won't do anything else, but, you know.
Yeah, well, no thanks. All right.
Okay.
All right. One thing comes with the other, and you're not giving me the second half.
No, exactly. Well, I don't know what turns your crank or lights your fuse.
Chocolate pudding.
It's chocolate pudding and a slap to the head for Roman. Yeah,
not the devil's pudding.
But not the no. Pudding. No. Okay. Well, I went to our hometown this weekend.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, you know, anyway, I had some stuff to take care of there and I just went up. It was just basically run up for 2 days or a couple nights and come right back. But
was it bail money for a family member? Because that's the thing.
No, it wasn't bail money for a family member this time. It was, but I did have to talk to a few of my siblings and we were just going to meet up real quick. But it turned into an impromptu dinner. Like it wasn't scheduled. It was just like, there's three of us here. Oh, well, let's break some bread. And then next thing you know, the kids are there. And I was like, oh, holy crap. It's a whole full on thing. It was completely spontaneous. And it was one of those things. It wasn't planned. It was just happened that way. But anyway, yeah, it was nice.
Those are fun. Those are.
Yeah, it was nice. Good. We were missing a sibling, which was, you mean, it sucks because it's like, oh, you're so close to having everybody there. But, you know, it's just one of those things. It wasn't planned, but it was so. you know, one day soon, I'm sure we'll all get together. And as you know, you're four. There's four of you, right? And you're...
Yeah, we're four boys.
Yeah, and we're five on my dad's side. You know, I got some on my mom's. My dad was married three times. My mother married twice. So there's a lot. There's a lot of halves and steps.
There's a cheese grater of humanity going on in your family.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, I was up north, and it was the north.
And it's very snowy, right?
There was snow on the ground, but and again, when I say I'm sure people are listening going, wait, you're Canadian. What do you mean you went more north? What's the matter with you? It's like, no, we're in Southern Ontario. Like when we say, hey, we're going north for the weekend, we hop in the car and drive another 5 hours north. Yeah. So I know that sounds insane, but that's where you and I are from. So we're driving up, and it's, because there's so much snow and there's so much salt, you know, they put salt on the roads or like it's dirt mixed with salt. Like it's a combination of something.
Sand.
And salt, yeah, sand. And salt trucks run, I mean, all winter long. So now is the time of the season where the side of the roads have piles of salt and sand from the winter. So it looks, aesthetically, it's not awesome. And in the trees, the trees aren't green. The tree, like there's no leaf. Yeah,
there's a lot of gray, and we even contribute to the gray.
Yes, exactly. It's just finished the dead of winter. There's lots of rock up there from it's Sudbury, Ontario. So there is a lot of rock. So you got lots of rock, lots of dead or looks like, you mean leafless trees, and right. Now sand and salt. But still, you know, when you're driving up there and you're like, oh, look at, I'm home, and people would be looking at you going, what the, this place looks like a dump.
Well, the one thing that's nice is there's a renewal whenever there's that, you know, you have the winter and then you have the spring. My favorite time of year was when the street cleaners came out.
Yes.
Right. And then it was just like, they just finally brushed all the sand. The salt's basically been melted by then.
Yeah.
Right. It's just sand on the road. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, once they clean it out and like you have freshly cleaned curbs, and you're like, oh, this is summer.
Well, you know, and again, you get that. It's literally, you get spring fever. You mean like you have that feeling of, oh my, this is, it's that, wow. You open the door and it's like, oh, I don't have to turn the heat on in my car.
It's get spring fever. You open the door and I got a boner.
Yeah. if the breeze is stiff enough, maybe.
Yeah. Tight parking spot, stiff breeze. That's all it takes for me these days.
Exactly. So, but yeah, you get that. It's that change of season. I know I was talking with some friends from California, and it's just one season bleeds into another. You know, like the nights are a little warmer, but other than that, it's like, okay, great. Like, you know, it's just,
well, I told you, that's why, like, I know there's we were talking about before, you know, previous episode, how people are Googling Florida man and their birthday. Right. Well, that's why I think I mentioned this about 100 episodes ago, is that that's why I think people go crazy in Florida. It's because there's no renewal. You know right. what I mean? There's no break, and it's always hot, and it's always, you know, nothing changing. It's always dirty in the sense that, you know, like it's dusty and like it's, especially when it's, you know, it's hot. You got beach.
Well, yeah,
and the wind blows up the sand, and it, you know, things get salty and dirty, and it's just kind of like it never changes.
Right.
You know.
So I get it. So yeah, the seasons, they're awesome. If you like them, and you know what, and there's nothing like we bitch about the snow all the time, but nothing like a little snowfall on a Christmas morning or a nice autumn, colors changing and, you know, around.
Oh yeah, no, I love the snow. I hate the cold. I love the heat, but I can't stand the sun.
I think that's a song.
I'm telling you, it's what it is.
Or a Roman's haiku.
All right. So speaking of sand, I got to tell you about this thing I saw on YouTube. Well, first I saw it on Instagram and I thought, well, that's not right. And I looked it up on YouTube and I was like, oh, that's actually a thing. So it's street food in India, and it's made from, it looks like pasta. It looks like those long shells, tortellini,
right.
Bocconcini, arancini. Yeah. I don't know from chinis. Something, all right. So anyways, it's a long tubes, but apparently it's made out of, made from potatoes, and they have a giant wok that's been heated, and inside the wok is sand. So before, and I was just like, okay, well, what am I looking at here? He throws the shells in. And then he starts scooping from underneath and pouring the sand and mixing.
the hot
these
sand.
Type of the noodles on this with this hot sand.
Right.
And these noodles just start to puff up like Cheetos.
Okay.
Right. And they look pretty amazing. I'm like, oh my God. But I'm like, and then he sifts it all out. Right. And then he bags it and he sells it. I'm like, well, no wonder that there's such a problem with teeth over there. I mean, you're eating, there's no way you're clearing out all the sand out of this tubey Cheeto, right?
And especially when it's tubes. Like it's not like something you can wipe off like a lasagna noodle where you can wipe off both sides, look at it, go, yeah, that's clean. You know, it's a tube. Of course, like sand's gonna get in.
But and he sifts it all out and they shake it, but it's just like, unless you're shaking every individual tube like crazy. Unless it's a sand, it doesn't stick to anything. Like it's some sort of silica sand. I have no idea. But yeah, they sell this as a street food. And it's when you see the video, I'm like, okay, they're literally just throwing, it looks like sand. I'm not, because they don't tell you that's what it is.
Right.
Until you see it on the YouTube video. When I saw it on Instagram, it just showed you the video.
Right.
And then you just see this thing just kind of like, and they like double their size. And then they turn like the crispy outside. And I'm just like, well, that looks really good as a street food.
Right.
But I saw the way you made it.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that I'm going to wear through my enamel in less than a year if I eat this stuff.
Of course. Yeah. But, and again, I'm not judging. I've eaten Toronto street meat more than a dozen occasions. It's it's really quick and it's right there. And it is, I don't want to know. And I'm one of these.
I've even got one further. I've eaten Sudbury Saturday night.
Yes.
Street meat. All right. Yeah. Hey, listen, I'll tell you how old I am. I ate it outside of City Lights.
Oh, fantastic. City Lights, by the way, if you're not from Sudbury, which I'm sure you're not.
But if you are, you won't know this reference.
Yeah. Which, you'd have to be our age, but yeah, it's City Lights was an 80s, massive 80s bar. And we caught the tail end of it and it was, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, I was so drunk, man. And then I got the street meat and then I just, my buddy put the mustard on it or I put it on, but there was so much of it that I two-handed this sausage burger, hot dog, whatever it was.
Sexy.
This sausage. And I two-handed the thing and I gave it kind of a shake. And I whipped it downwards and the amount of mustard that came off of this thing just splattered everywhere. And I'm just like, and I remember being drunk out of my mind going, that's a shitload of fucking mustard, man. Like how much mustard did I put on for me to be able to shake it off?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, more to the point.
I won't even talk about how when I threw it up, it was just nothing but meat and mustard.
I'm sure it was. Again, more to the point, we've eaten street meat and we've had street vendors and this and that. We're no strangers to Toronto. Where
what can I get you? Gagarash.
Gagarash.
Yeah. We have a crab juice and Mountain Dew. I'll take a crab juice.
Exactly. So, okay. So this guy, like you're serving this pasta made in dirt. I don't know. I can't.
It turns into like a Cheeto, like a hollow Cheeto. With no powder on it. It's just like the yellow.
Yeah, like an onion ring or something.
Yeah. Kind of like that, but very long. A tube,
yeah,
right?
Very long, yeah.
And it does look like it'd be great street food, but when you see them cook it in the sand, you're like, there's no way you got all that sand out of there, man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's just like one of those things. Actually, it reminds me of like,
I guess it's because it's India, right? And there's tigers in certain areas. So if you eat enough sand, you can literally shit bricks. That's a dad joke.
That's a dad joke. I'd start making phone calls because I think you got a kid out there somewhere.
I said it and then my nuts started tingling.
Actually, it reminds me, do you ever see that movie Into the Shadow? Into the Shadows. It was from the guys from New Zealand.
No, I don't think so.
It was that director, from Thor Ragnarok. He was in it there and Jermaine Clement there from the Flight of the Conchords, he's in it, and basically the movie is, it's a comedy about these vampires, these four vampires that live together.
I haven't seen the movie, but I know what it is.
Okay, so now, and actually there's an FX series coming out, it's right. Recast, but anyway, but this, there's a scene in there where somebody, it's like a documentary, right? Documentary style.
Mockumentary type thing?
Yeah. So there they are and they're asking, it's like, well, why do you always want, to suck the blood of, why do you always want to get virgins to suck the blood? He goes, well, it'd be like, if you're about to eat a sandwich, you'd prefer to know that no one's fucked it. Sorry. That's not, and that's in the movie. That's not our joke. So, and it makes sense, right? And now that's what you're saying. Like with, even with eating, you don't want to see it made. Or again, if you're a vampire, you.
Well, look, if you're adventurous, you want to try it, go right ahead. But I wouldn't say, I would say make sure it's not a staple. Okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise you will need staples to repair your stomach.
Exactly. Exactly. So
it's just like, you just fucking bust a nut. It's just like a wad of concrete.
Gross. Awesome. Okay. So what else we got? Yeah. So I checked out the hometown. Hometown is still hometown. You had your audition. Yeah. What else we got going on? We got hockey playoffs starting. And my favorite team, the New Jersey Devils, have been out since I think early December. So I've gotten used to the, you mean, handling the fact that there will be no playoffs for me this year. But your Habs, the Habs lasted till the very last day and then just
couldn't. Even though they won their last game against the Leafs, they needed to win the game before that and other teams had to lose.
Yeah.
So yes, at a certain point mathematically we were out. But we just, you know, that last bit of pride where we went to a shootout.
Yes.
And then it was like a single shooter, and then we ended up by winning the game. And then so all the people who are like a bunch of people who are laughing at the fact that my team got eliminated.
Yes.
I snuck back onto their boards and I was just like, well, it's great that you're going to play us, but it's too bad you couldn't beat the Habs. You know, yeah. I said, we're going to go cry in our 24 cups.
Again, I knew it. I cocksucking knew it. You fucking bastard Hab fans. And I knew that. I was about to say it too. You were queuing it up and I was like, oh,
You know what though? I didn't instigate any of this. What started was, well, that's the greatest sound in the world where we hear Habs fans crying. And they're like, Leafs fans are the goddamn worst. So,
I know.
So they'll immediately, it's like they cannot be gracious winners. So that's what I put in my post. I said, look, see, the day that you guys can be gracious winners, I'll be happy if your team wins.
It's like, yeah, I know. But okay, put it in the perspective, Habs Leaf, longtime rivalry. It's like almost like having Yankees Red Sox before the Red Sox started winning the last.
Yeah, but like we're now on opposite. No, we're on the same side now. We used to be in opposite divisions.
No, I understand that. But this is my point. If the Red Sox fans were like, oh, would Yankee fans please shut the fuck up? Yes, we know you have so many goddamn World Series rings. Like the World Series, you mean like the jeweler might as well put a shop in New York because in the Bronx, because the Yankees are getting them all the time. Up until around what? A decade ago, 12 years ago, where Boston actually, now they've racked up about four in the last 15 years or whatever it is. I'm not exactly, you can check my math, but I know it's been a lot.
Right.
Anyway, so Boston fans, another storied franchise, can never win, never get there. And it's just like, oh, Yankees fans, shut up. Like, and again, I'm not a Boston fan or a Yankees fan, but this, if to our American friends, that's the Canadian equivalent. It just, the Leafs, well, Habs, it's just.
I get it. But look, a friend of mine used to work for the guy. He's probably one of the nicest guys in the world. But whenever we'd get into Leafs Habs stuff,
right,
it was always like, oh, stop bragging about your cups. The last one you won was in 1993. And I was like, the last one you won was 1967.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, but 1993. And I was like, no, 1967. He's like, yeah, but. 1993. Like, that's not an argument.
That's not, yeah, you're
making my argument, but somehow pretending like you're winning.
Yes.
That's the thing that drives me nuts.
I know.
You've lost. Admit it. You know, but it's just like, you know what? But if they were a little more humble, I guarantee the rest of Canada would jump on board and go like, okay, we're behind you, man.
Yeah.
But it's that, be a good winner. All right. Now, I know I said that and then somebody replied, oh, that's the way the Habs are. Look, I grew up being a Habs fan. My brothers, my father, everybody. If the Habs didn't work hard and earn their wins,
right,
we were the first ones to say, you didn't earn it, you didn't deserve it.
Tabernacle.
Yeah, instead of, it's the Leafs, it's the refs, 1993, you know?
Well, and again, I remember when the Leafs, what was it, 5 years ago or something, they're in the playoffs, and it was the first time they were in the playoffs in forever. Yeah. And then they get to game 7 against Boston and they're winning by 2 goals going into the third. And I actually, was it 2 or 3 goals? It was horrendous anyway. And I work in construction. And I was working in Toronto downtown at the time. Like, oh my God, I'm going to hear about this forever. Like, it's going to be awful. Every day at work is going to be like blue and white leaf waving. So I said, you know what? I'm going to turn on the TV. I'm going to watch this final period so I can get in on the conversation tomorrow. Well, lo and behold, Boston scores three unanswered goals and wins the series. And the Leafs completely shit the bed. Any Leafs fan will remember this. And it was very quiet at work the next day. It was nice. Quite lovely.
I guess everybody has their teams. Everybody, like, but I'm not one of those people who would just sit there and argue online forever. It's just once in a while. It's just like when it's just nonstop. Your feed is nothing but that.
Yes,
you know where they didn't. Where they weren't the ones who eliminated them at all. They just are like, oh man, the tears of the Habs fans is the greatest thing.
And also too, like dating back, when Jersey won their first cup in '95, we were back in our hometown, and we were at a bar, and I watched it happen, and it was a big thing, and I had my jersey on. It was weird partying. A friend of ours was a Detroit fan who just got swept, so there was a lot of joking around. And then when we had like a 20-minute drive back to our place, and I'm in the back of a truck. Like we had a pickup truck, and I think you were driving, and I had a broom in the back, and I had my jersey on because they just swept Detroit to win the first ever cup. And this is what, 25 years ago almost now? Like, so like I haven't been a long time Devils fan, and I was a long time Devils fan then, and they finally won the cup. And so believe me, and when you turned around and looked at me and you're like, and I'm like pumping the broom. Of course I'm a young man. You know what I mean? Like I'm 22 at the time. So I'm waving the broom and I got my jersey on and I'm screaming and yelling. And you're like, you're looking at me and you're going, enjoy it. It may never happen again. So just take it in and you knew I was a longtime fan. So you're like, and to see you were actually kind of getting joy by watching me in complete euphoria.
Well, of course. And that's what I mean. Like I said, there's certain teams. They work hard. Look at Detroit, right? And they hadn't won in 54 years or whatever it was. And they ended up by winning, you know, in the late 90s, was it? Early
Detroit,
2000? Yeah. Oh, and again, Detroit fans were ecstatic and good for them.
But that's what I'm saying. But the thing is, if it was the Leafs that won the cup that night, it would have been, F you. I wasn't F-ing anybody. I was just so, I couldn't even see straight. It just didn't sink in. Like my team, and it was a fairly, even at the time, was the team was only 15 years old since they moved from Colorado. So it was like, what's going on? Like, how is
So basically what we're saying is,
yes.
Right. This is the last thing we're going to wrap up the sports here. I know some people it means nothing.
It's the other thing. Yeah, sure. But we're just,
all right. So what we're saying is that your team can do well, right? Mm-hmm. If they didn't earn it, they didn't earn it. If they didn't earn it and you think that it's everybody else's fault, right? Well, as my friend PewDiePie once said, what you're giving me is a bitch lasagna.
Yes.
All right? So there's a hot serving of bitch lasagna. I don't need it. Thank you.
Okay. So, but either way, Habs fans, yes, you can polish your 24 cups and enjoy it. But again...
Yeah, we don't have any good rings, though.
You don't have any good rings because the oversized rings didn't start coming out till long after that. Like
it was actually, I think it was Pittsburgh, right? Or the Steelers. It was one of the football. It was either, I think it was either the football team or the hockey team. I believe it was the football team. Yes, it was the NFL team. And they basically, was Roger Goodell? Was he the NFL?
Good commissioner. Okay, well, if you're talking about championship rings, now just a sidebar here. In the NFL, there's a rule. If your team wins their first Super Bowl, the ring can only have so many carats worth of diamonds, and it can only weigh so much, and it can only have so much gold in it, or whatever. Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, when they finally won their first Super Bowl in like the early 2000s, he's like, F this.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say,
and he's like, I'm paying the fine.
He's like, dude, I don't listen to anybody. I get caught in brothels.
Exactly. Fine.
I get my ring stolen by Putin.
Right? Exactly.
I'm a fucking rebel.
Yeah, I'm a badass. Yeah, I'm hanging with Putin. I'm getting jerked off, and I'm fucking. If I want to buy a twice the size ring than anybody else, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, that was my point. Is that there was a rule that said you could not do it, and I thought it was Pittsburgh. You're right. It was Robert Kraft. He turned around. He was just like, "Yeah, we're not following that rule." And then the what are the other owners going to do? Oh fuck.
Well, the thing is, and this is what it is though, and more behind baseball or behind football or any sport really, when you're giving out the a championship ring is given to the champion, right? And basically it's something like in hockey, the team gets the Stanley Cup, and during the summer, every player gets to have the cup for 24 hours. So you get to bring it to your hometown. You get to have a parade where you're in your hometown. You get to have your family and friends drink out of it. It's a big party. And they, it literally now, because it's so global, it tours the world, right? So, yeah. So you get this cup, but then the cup's gone. You know, the trophy's gone. And, but the ring is something you keep. That's your personal trophy. You keep that forever.
Yeah, it's like instead of carrying a trophy with you to say I'm a champion.
Yes.
Right. Let's say you
or wear a t-shirt saying, "Hey, remember me? I won the cup in '89 yeah. with the Flames."
So if you walk into a bar and there's a hot young number and she wants to know something about you, she just has to look at the ring and go, "Oh, you're a winner." Yeah.
Yeah, you're a winner and a millionaire.
Yeah.
Or you were.
You might not be a millionaire, but you're definitely a winner.
Well, and okay, and also too, the thing is too with championship ring, why is there limitations or what they want to put on is because now in a salary cap era, owners giving their players rings that are worth $50,000 each goes against breaks the cap rule because you're giving your it's in a form of a gift. But it's, all right. You understand what I'm saying? So you're big. Yeah. I paid you $1 million last year. We have no cap space less. We can't pay anybody else anymore, but here's a $25,000 ring. You know what I mean? And no, I understand math, but that's why there's a limitation because they have to like, well, okay, we can't sign you to a $10 million contract, but we can give you the Hope Diamond on your Super Bowl ring. You know what I mean? Like you can't subvert the system. Like, you understand?
Well, I was going to say, just before we wrap up, one of the guys that was making the big Leafs comments, he's a huge New England fan.
Oh, fuck off.
Right? So they're winning all the time, right? But the Leafs haven't won in since 67. So, you know, he's like, he was just trash talking a little bit. And what I was going to write, which I didn't, I would say, like, the only reason the Leafs can't win is because you can't deflate the pucks.
All right. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to take care of a little bit of housekeeping and we're going to make this part one and part two. We're going to continue our little bitch lasagna. So we're going to get into more sports talk and more talk around the world and everything else. And we you know what? We might even throw in the odd headline. We'll see what.
I believe they're all going to be odd.
Yes, we're going to see what strikes our fanny. So, but in case you don't or you mix the next episode, we're going to take care of the housekeeping. Remember, at Roman Pod and Cast on Twitter and Roman Pod and Cast on Instagram. You can get a hold of me. I am at Robert MM Cast on Twitter and Cast1973 on Instagram. But remember, I'm in Chicago. When this show comes out, I am literally in Chicago. So tweet at me if you're in Chicago. I'm actually going to be at Wrigley Field on tonight when you guys are hearing this, or on Wednesday night, April 10th, I'm going to check out the Cubbies play the Pirates. Not a fan of either, but fuck, it's Wrigley Field. I'm going to go. So I now be at Star Wars Celebration all weekend. So if you are listening to this on the weekend it comes out, or the week comes out, and you are at Star Wars Celebration, or you're in Chicago, tweet at me. I'm going to be stateside. Don't forget, you can get a hold of Roman. He is the Roman LeBeau on Twitter and on Instagram, and he is Roman Citizens on everything else, Snapchat, Grindr, Christian Grindr.
Oh, I want to add a few there because, like, you know, Christian. Okay, I get it. You know, so Christian I decided Grindr, to go through. I decided to go through my phone and see what else I was a member of. That
okay?
People, you know, I'm on Nest. All right, so if you need to check my thermostat, I'm on that. All right, and apparently I'm also on Green Pea Parking, which is the Toronto parking.
Yes,
so I'm on that as well, and also Grocery Gateway. So, I mean. If there's any way to contact me on those things.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. You swipe right or up or I don't know. We'll figure that out.
I'm also on Dropbox in case anybody's wondering.
Yeah. So we're all on Dropbox. So, okay. And don't forget the networks are on the Tangible Network, the EMC Podcast Network. And we are also endorsed by Emotionally 14. That is numerical 14 when you're looking it up on the .com. So check out all those great and awesome places for some outstanding content, probably 1,000 times better than our show. So, but you know, hey, if you're listening to this, anyway, check out those, what they have to offer. You won't be disappointed. And also don't forget our Tasty Nude campaign. Yeah, we're still doing it. Yeah. Yeah. We don't care what's going on. Tasty Nudes. You want to get Tasty Nudes? Send them to Roman LeBeau at RomanPodcast@gmail.com. You have any tasteful nudes?
We're now accepting tasty videos.
Oh, well, there we go. Well, yeah, I guess you expanded your Dropbox. So yeah, take tasty videos or tasteful videos. Sure, why not? Yeah, send them to me. I'm Rob, care of Rob, same address, romanpontegast@gmail.com. And do not forget about our TeePublic store. You go to romanpontegast.com and you can go to our TeePublic store. You can get our logo or our vintage logo on laptops, cases, or cell phone cases, or shirts, or hoodies, or whatever, pillows, whatever you want, or wall hangings, or even like those canvas wall hangings. Like, you can get everything Roman Pontegast you need there, romanpontegast.com. So check out all that good stuff there. And do not forget about our review reach around. If you want to give Roman or Rob a review reach around, go to Apple Podcasts and give us a star rating and review, and we call that the review reach around.
That's right. That's a 5-star bitch lasagna part one reach around.
So until next week, I'm Rob Gast.
And I'm your host, Roman LeBeau.
And we'll see you next time. Later.
What would you do with the powers of creation? Would you speak of triumph? Would you talk of joy? Or would yours be a chorus of rage? The Tangent Bound Network is seeking those with the powers of voice to join an international network of podcasters. Visit tangentboundnetwork.com and let your voice be heard.